This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They are who we thought they were.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
And then we're going to find our best friend Doug. And then we're going to give him our best friend hug.
Hey, Dean Tony, you all right, mate?
That just happened.
What would you say you do here?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We are just loaded. Oh, maybe I should say jam-packed. The next 2 days here on the Doug and Daddy
Show. We're sober.
As we get ready to head to Kansas City to enjoy the regional semifinals and finals, hopefully for the Nebraska women's basketball team. Tomorrow on the show, Kentucky head coach Matt Mitchell is going to join us. Also tomorrow, we'll talk a little Baylor basketball with John Morris, the play-by-play voice at Baylor. Today, we're going to talk with the play-by-play voice of Kansas State because, well, they play today, so that would probably be a good idea. Big game tonight against Xavier.
We didn't want to play that tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be a bad idea to have him on tomorrow. So we're going to talk to him today, and I hope that's okay. Wyatt Thompson is going to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about tonight's matchup with Xavier. Kind of a rarity. These two teams have already played this year, and they thumped them pretty good. Now, again, that was before conference back in December, so the teams are different. But I think Kansas State's better than they were then.
I think they have more talent.
Well, Xavier's coach talked about that earlier this week on one of the ESPN programs. I don't remember if it was Cowherd or Van Pelt, but he was on there and talking about that and how they come along. So Wyatt Thompson joins us today. We're going to talk to Eric Fink. He is at the pinch hit today for Coach Drew Schenick of the Tri-City Storm. Assistant coach going to come in, and we're going to talk with him about the Storm and trying to clinch that playoff berth, which 2 weeks ago seemed a given, and now it's anything but a given. They only have a one-point lead with four games to go. Chris Katulak of the TVG Network is coming home. Was there at Fauna Park, got his start there, and we're going to catch up with him. He's going to be in Grand Island. They've been showing some of the races on TVG, and we'll talk about that national exposure for Fauna. And then, of course, it's Thursday, so at the end of the program, Jude Mayo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com is going to join us. So if you've got any questions as you get ready for your fantasy baseball draft, or in the case of Derek, where he's already had it and guys are injured, you may have some questions for Joe. All you have to do is fire them off to the Dent Popper inbox. We'll pass them along. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, the round of 16 gets kicked off a little after 6. I believe 6:07, that first tip tonight, Syracuse and Butler go right off the bat. Any upsets tonight?
Well, I want Cornell. I want Cornell. I want Kentucky out, which would the television people would be pulling their hair out because they'd be going, oh, God, it's down to Syracuse. And we're going to have Duke get in there, too, because otherwise nobody's going to watch, even the underdog. Nobody's going to watch on the East Coast or the West Coast. I hope Cornell wins.
Are you going to retract your statement right now that Kentucky has no chance to win this?
Is that what I said?
Yes. Zero chance.
No, I will not retract that. Although things are starting to fall their way. West Virginia's got a kid hurt. Washington can't beat them. There's the double jinx. There's the... And so, their road looks easier than it did. But again, I said it when it came out. I thought their draw was pretty darn easy. I thought West Virginia was the only team in this entire bracket. You know, Texas, if they would have pulled their head out. But they were just so bad at the end of the year compared to how good they were at the beginning. What a total, implosion. So we'll see. And I think West Virginia beats Washington tonight, even without their point guard. In the West, Syracuse, and as Bob Knight said this morning, in so many words, they want to say if Syracuse plays what they're capable of playing, nobody will beat them. If everybody in the tournament remaining plays as good as they can play, Syracuse is your national champ. Do you disagree or agree?
No, I disagree. I totally agree with that statement. I think they are the best team if they get their big guy back and he's healthy and ready to go. Hamstring injury still bothering him. He will be out tonight, and I don't think they need him tonight. I think Syracuse just more talent. Once again, you look at the teams remaining, how many have an opportunity to win a national title?
I think Syracuse thumps Butler. Butler's going to try and keep it low scoring. Syracuse takes care of them. It's a key. Syracuse needs to get out of the gate tonight and leave no doubt, like they did last week against Gonzaga. And Kansas State plays Xavier. We'll find out from Wyatt Thompson in just a couple of minutes here, as he's set to join us. But I don't see any reason why Xavier hangs in this ball game either. Pitt struggled a little bit. They found a way to get them beaten in a high-scoring game, and if they want to go high-scoring, I don't think Kansas State's going to have a problem with that.
No, they want to run up and down right with them.
But the odds say some upset will occur tonight, so which one is it, Tony?
I wish I knew. Would I be in Vegas?
By the way, is all of the Tri-Cities in Vegas? I can't believe how many people, I know spring break just went on, but just acquaintances going there or have been in the last week. And more going today on the old Allegiant flight out of Grand Island. Some coming in, some going out. Just exchanging the money there at the airport. Who's your upset? Who's the upset tonight? You pick one. The obvious one is Washington. I'll do it. I'll say Cornell. I'll take Cornell. I will stand out and take Cornell. That's what I'll say. Cornell. I'll go with the Big Red.
I'm going with all higher seeds prevail tonight. I think there is no upset tonight. Washington, 11 seed. I know people thought, start of the year, this is going to be a 4-5 seed. They fell to an 11 seed.
Why don't you go stand in the corner at the 8th grade dance with your hands in your pocket?
That's what I did. It wasn't a good dancer.
I'm scared. I don't want to ask the pretty girl. No, I don't want to.
I'm thinking Northern Iowa tomorrow's got the chance. That's my team.
Ooh, big upset. 1-point spread.
Is that what's that?
Scary. Scary Halloween scary. And we have people that want to sponsor your picks. I can't believe it. Including Choke, the official soft drink of the Kansas Jayhawks. Who sent us the emails there?
Let me check here. I got a bunch of them, and some of them are pretty good here. This coming from a Windstream address here. Forwarded from one of these forwards.
Maybe it's from Kelly. Let's go.
Nonetheless, I like a Farouk Manesh, Iranian for bird killer. That's pretty good.
Once again, Pat, can I buy a vowel? Okay, you're taking Cornell. 8.5-point favorite or underdog. Fair enough. I'll give you Cornell. I'm just going to take all the favorites tonight. I'm not going out. What limb is there to go on? The better teams are. Okay, if I say Washington, you don't like that pick. You threw that out.
No, that's fine. 4-0 for the favorites. There's probably a line on that out there. Will all four favorites win tonight? You would say yes.
I would say yes.
Okay. You would say yes.
Absolutely.
NCAA men's basketball continues tonight right here on ESPN with the Sweet 16 getting underway. And, Daddy, there's only two Big 12 men's teams left in the tournament and probably not the two that everybody thought, although I think Kansas State, I think a lot of people would have said if there was only two teams left, they'd be one of them that remained.
Well, you might have thought that, but you might have thought of that team with Bill Walker and Michael Beasley would have been that team to advance this far. They could not. Wyatt Thompson, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, joins us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. How are you, Wyatt? Welcome back.
Well, I appreciate being back. It's really exciting to be alive at this time. And, being a Sweet 16 team for the first time since 88 is an awfully good feeling if you're wearing purple these days.
Well, Wyatt, that's just it. I think a lot of the teams go in hoping and trying to survive that first weekend. And if you can get into the second weekend, then all of a sudden a lot of big ideas probably start popping and floating around your head.
Yeah, I think so. And really, it was an awfully good weekend for us last weekend. I thought the guys did a really nice job of kind of somewhat taking care of business against North Texas. Clearly, they had an advantage in terms of size and athleticism. The game against BYU, I think we understood that it was going to be a tussle and a tough matchup, especially with Jimmer Fredette, who's a terrific player. But Jacob Pullen had a fantastic game on him and also had 34 points, which was a career high for him. So it was great to get through that first weekend. It's hard to win two games in this tournament. And then now we look at a Xavier team tonight who we actually saw back in December at Bramlage. So kind of somewhat familiar with those guys, too.
Why, well, people that are new to the basketball field and younger fans don't realize, Kansas State's been to the Sweet 16 before several times. This is actually their 17th appearance.
Yeah, they've had 17 Sweet 16s, and they've been to four Final Fours. Now, albeit it's been a while, you date back to 48, and I think the last one was in 64. But you're right. I mean, I think you make a great point in that K-State basketball from the middle 40s to the early 90s was really pretty darn good, probably one of the best 20 or 25 programs of all time. And then for about a 20-year stretch, it wasn't very good, frankly. Then Bob Huggins came and changed that 4 years ago. After he left after a year, Frank Martin was elevated to coach, and I think a lot of people thought the athletic administration at the time was crazy and just tried to save a recruiting class, but I think he's proven that he's an awfully good basketball coach in terms of recruiting, in terms of just handling a program and the X's and O's. He's been great, guys.
Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's follow up on that a lot, because a lot has been made of his so-called in-your-face style of coaching, but then everybody says outside of that 40 minutes of the game, he's kind of a totally different person. What's your take on the way he coaches and then just kind of the person that he is?
Well, I think you described it pretty well, honestly. You know, in first getting to know Frank as an assistant, I think was an advantage for me because, you know, he went through a very difficult time when he first got to Manhattan. He was sick, and they thought for a very short period of time that he was going to lose his life. They thought he had pancreatic cancer. But he snapped out of that and has really, I think, grown as a coach. He is a guy who is, you know, in your face and I suppose to a small degree or a certain degree can be somewhat intimidating from the outside looking in. But what people miss, I think, is away from the game, what a great relationship he has with his kids. He cares deeply about them. He's a good family man. He's just a good guy. If you just saw him on the street and walked up to him, he'd strike up a conversation with you or anybody else. He's just I don't know how to say it other than he's just one of the real good guys in the world. I've been around the game a long time, and he's as good a human being as I've worked with, and that's the truth.
Wyatt, finish up on my thought about Michael Beasley and Bill Walker. What's the major difference between that team, which people seem to get acquainted with, and this Kansas State Wildcat team?
Well, I think it's obvious that the biggest difference is experience. You know, that team was so much fun to cover, and Mike was, from the time he stepped onto our campus to the time he left, everybody understood that he was a one-and-done guy and headed to the NBA because of the rules. And had the rules been different, I don't think we have even seen him at Kansas State. But it was a great, great year for us. We went to the NCAA tournament, played in Omaha, as you guys know, and beat a real solid USC team and then lost to Wisconsin. It was, I think, kind of the thing that really got K-State basketball back a little bit through those first 2 years there, the first year with Coach Huggins and then Frank's first year. They had seven first-year guys on that team, and now you flash forward 3 years and you've got a guard in Jacob Pullen who's a three-year starter. You've got a senior point guard in Denny Clemente who's been around 5 years and three of those in our program. Jamar Samuels, even though he's still very young, is a veteran guy who's played a ton of basketball through 2 years. 3 years for Dominique Sutton. Curtis Kelly was at Connecticut, now at our place. So I think the experience factor is really large for us. And then to Coach Martin's credit, guys, he's also brought that freshman class along really well. We're starting to get some pretty good minutes out of Rodney Magruder and Wally Judge, who was a McDonald's All-American, and for that matter, Martavius Irving, who gets a little time at that 1 and 2 spot, too, when Denny and Jake need blows.
Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wyatt, if the guards do what they have to do and have been doing, what they're going to have to do to advance in this tournament, of all those kids that you just mentioned, who do you expect to have a good game against Xavier or may need to have a good game against Xavier to advance on to the Elite Eight?
Well, I'm going to probably say Jamar Samuels, and the reason is he was the sixth man of the year in our league. He did not play well last weekend, or at least up to the standards that he has set for himself throughout the entirety of the year. And we're really, really good when he plays at a high level and scores. He had a 27-point, 10-rebound game in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament, to give you an example. So it gives you an idea of how explosive he can be. Probably 1B would be Dominique Sutton. Those two kids are really key for us because they're good defenders. They're long and athletic. They can run the floor. They're both pretty solid shooters, not great shooters, but decent shooters. And they just seem to, with our guards as good as they are, if they're playing and two or three of those other kids are hitting on the same cylinders as those guards, I think on a given night, K-State has proven they can play with anybody.
Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, joins us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Wyatt, what part of Xavier's game poses the biggest challenge for the Wildcats?
Well, probably Jordan Crawford, their two guard. You know, he came into their program a year ago and after transferring from Indiana and had to set out. And I think when we saw him in early December, he was still kind of feeling his way through Coach Mack's system. And by the way, Chris has done a great job with them. They've had a nice run through the Atlantic 10. They have some size at the rim. They're a good rebounding team. But Jordan, I think, is their key. Terrell Holloway, their point guard, maybe not as flashy as some, but in tandem, those two guys are good. So I think this is going to be a game that will probably be decided by the big guys because the guards kind of cancel each other out. Now, it may not necessarily play out that way. You know, maybe one of those guys gets extremely hot and runs away with the thing. But I think the big guys, whether it's Jason Love of Xavier or Jamel McLean or Kenny Freeze, somebody like that, or as opposed to a Curtis Kelly, Jamar Samuels, somebody like that, Wally Judge for Kansas State. It's going to be an intriguing game when we get to tonight.
Wyatt, I know when we have the big press conferences, the coach or the players might not address it. They'll do it politically correct. But what was it like when Kansas got knocked out of the tournament? What was the feeling around the Kansas State camp?
Well, I think from the fans' perspective, they were tickled. You know, you guys know this. The KU-K State rivalry is pretty intense. And so I think our fans are probably still celebrating up to a certain degree, and it's made it pretty sweet, the fact that K-State is still playing and they're not. But having said that, I have to be honest and tell you that I think our kids were surprised by it, like everybody else. And you know, when you play in this league, whether you're playing Nebraska or Colorado or Iowa State or Texas Tech, I think those kids, for the most part, want to see the league do really well. So they were, I mean, and that loss by Kansas happened right in front of us right before we played. So it was pretty stunning for them. But I think I'll finish it this way and say, with Kansas out of the way, right or wrong, I think our kids feel like, you know, they've got a real chance to win this thing if they do what they're supposed to do. But we're a long ways away from that yet, obviously.
Yeah, that kind of took my next question. I thought, you know, if they beat Xavier tonight, I think Syracuse, out of everybody that's left, is the main opponent. I think they get by Syracuse, K-State would be favored by anybody that comes out of that Midwest region. So that'd be awesome, Daddy.
Fill us in on the atmosphere from last week to this week at the tournament and what you've experienced so far, especially with the media.
Well, the media crunch was intense at the Ford Center in Oklahoma City. But this weekend, as you guys might expect, you get down to, you know, four teams and four regionals, 16 teams, it becomes even more so. I was in the press room a while ago, and it's just, you know, it's loaded. And you can just kind of sense that, you know, there's a lot of work to do for these guys, but they're excited about being around the coaches and the kids and excited for tonight's games. I agree with you guys. I think Syracuse is dynamite. They may have the best team left. That's certainly an arguable point. But when they're playing at their optimum level, guys, they're as good as anybody. And that zone can be a wrecker for a lot of teams. So I'm anxious to see that Butler-Syracuse game before we play tonight.
Well, some great basketball coming tonight, and K-State could be playing on the final night of the season. So first they got to get by the Musketeers for the second time this season tonight. And Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, have a great call, and hopefully we can talk to you again in a week or so when you're still playing.
Well, thanks, guys. I hope that's the case. I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah, it was a great time, Wyatt. Thank you so much. And, Daddy, K-State tonight, Xavier should be able to get it done. Yeah, I'll root for K-State tonight.
I don't like the fact that Xavier's been there the last 3 years. This is the third year in a row they've been there. In Kansas State, relatively new to the experience with these kids. I still think they've just got more talent.
Kind of the same story with Baylor, which we'll talk about tomorrow with John Morris. Yep. We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris Katulak from the TVG Network to talk a little horse racing, Fauner Park, and National Style as we're getting closer to the Derby right after this.
Are you covered? For Tiger Tough tarps, you need Hastings Canvas Company. Custom-made tarps, awnings, and boat covers. Plus, custom-made canvas products like air conditioner and generator covers, tractor umbrellas, and more. All custom-made to your specs. We've been in business for nearly 80 years for a reason. We're not happy unless you're happy. On the corner of Eastside Boulevard and 3rd in Hastings. Call today for a free estimate. 462-6615. Hastings Canvas Company. Tiger Tough tarps.
This is Tony.
And this is Nick from Rich & Sons Camper Sales.
If you missed the RV show in January, we want to give you a second chance to see our huge selection of brand new and pre-owned RVs.
Stop by our spring open house now through Saturday. Take advantage of special pricing on every RV on our lot. Buy now and save big.
Need to finance your new RV? We have payment options to fit any budget.
So don't miss Rich & Sons spring open house going on now with the community pancake feed Saturday from 8 to noon.
Rich & Sons Camper Sales, the Midwest's best RV experience.
Hastings, it's time to go green with Woodward's Disposal Service. Residential and commercial, Woodward's has owned and operated their own recycling center since 1988. Plus, full-service trash pickup with toters or metal containers ranging from 1 yard to 30. And curbside recycling service is free. Need something hauled away today? Give Woodward's a call. And in a lot of cases, they can pick it up the same day. Family owned and operated since 1933. Call 402-462-9252 or at woodwardsdisposal.com. Remember, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Need tickets? Need to sell tickets? Or cars? Or stuff out of the basement or garage? Become a super fan and you can post them on free classifieds. Click on to find the deals too. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan today.
Taking a look at your weather eye forecast for today. Look for lots of sunshine. Continued mild with highs topping out near 57 degrees with winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Colin Witherow. Right now, 45.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, you think of a time, an event, a person, you know, a song just pops into your head. There you go. Timo. We were just talking about him during the break, so, you know, throw out some kind of one-hit wonder from the 80s. There you go. If you want more than one hit this summer, get your equipment from Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center, where they've got bats for Little League, for Senior League, for Legion, baseball, softball. How about the gloves for baseball and softball from Easton, Louisville, Mizuno, Wilson? The cleats are brought to you from Adidas, Nike, Mizuno, all the top name brands to get you from 5 to 55 or beyond. Whatever league you're playing, they've got the gear for you. And, of course, sometimes it's hard to get that catcher all equipped up. They've got everything you need, all sizes. Misco Sports open 7 days a week. They're open late on Thursday, and today would be...
Well, that'd be right, Thursday when they're open late.
Check them out. They're open till 8 tonight. Misco Sports, all the gear you need to play, to umpire, or for the fans, to look cool. They've got all your gear at Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center.
Maybe your kid's not that good, and you know that, and even he knows that, but give him some equipment that makes him look good.
That was what your mom and dad told you?
Yeah.
Here, Tony, stand out there. You look good.
Here's a Rollins. Put it on it. Get it to Misco's.
The other hand! Put the glove on the right hand.
They sent me out to right field, Charlie Brown.
Tony, right's over there. That's left field.
I want to play Rover, Dad. That's my dream position. Rover. All right, now we're going to talk some horse racing. We're going out to the West Coast. Chris Katudelak joins us. Chris, of course, he's a model. He's on TVG Network. He does it all. Chris, how are you today?
Gentlemen, I don't know if I do it all. I know I'm not a model, but just sitting here, sitting on tilt, ready to go and head into the Agriplex. Yeah, you don't often talk to people that are living in Los Angeles or the greater Los Angeles area that are excited to fly into the Agriplex.
Well, Chris will be in Grand Island at Fauna Park for all the activities that's going on this weekend. And, of course, we had track announcer Steve Anderson on last week. And one of the things he was telling us and we were talking about, Chris, is that actually Fauna Park made an appearance on TVG here recently, and that's a first.
You're right. It was a first, and we're going to do it again coming up on Saturday. What's going on is TVG, very briefly for the listeners, is a television network much like the ESPN of horse racing, or perhaps more specifically, the Golf Channel of horse racing, where we show races not only from Hall County, Nebraska, USA, and Bonner Park and Grand Island, but also across the world. Races from Dubai in the desert will be shown Saturday morning on TVG, and typically we've just got races from New York, California, Florida, Louisiana, so forth and so on throughout the week, racing from Australia nightly. But very quickly, Farner Park hit the TVG screens this year, and you can wager on all of their races via streaming video. We show those all the time on our network, TVG.com. On the website, you can access the video. The only hitch is Nebraska is not one of the states where you can do this legally. So while we are showing our races to the world, if you live in Nebraska, you not may legally play these races. Others may.
Yeah, why would we be? Why would we try and help the horse racing economy at all? Anyway, Chris Kutulak joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, give us a national taste of what's going on big in the horse racing right now. Of course, the Derby's coming up, but the big races coming up this weekend are what?
We took a little pause from the Derby scene last weekend when Rachel Alexandra, the Horse of the Year, returned to the races in Zenyatta. The race mare of the year last year returned to the races. Zenyatta went out there and thumped on her competition to remain undefeated 15 for 15 lifetime. And Rachel Alexandra, off of a much longer respite from racing, a half year's time, she came back and she ended up finishing second. A decent second place finish, but many were expecting more from the reigning horse of the year. So there was supposed to be a big $5 million cage match throwdown for these two at Oaklawn Park coming up April 9th if both of them showed up in the race. Rachel is now not going to. Zenyatta will continue on, so the race has gone back to its original purse of $500,000, which there's nothing shabby with that. Anyway, racing kind of got a little ripple last week when Rachel didn't live up to expectations. So we're back on the three-year-old scene as far as the Derby goes, and there's a horse named Escandarea that is currently the Derby favorite. He was supposed to run in the Florida Derby last week, and at the last minute, the connections decided, we'll wait a week, and he's going to run it coming up here in the Wood Memorial next weekend. And he is the horse that I like a whole bunch. He's got the right running style. He's got the right connections with his trainer, Todd Pletcher, and he's got a pedigree that could suggest he could win at the mile and the quarter distance at the Kentucky Derby.
Chris Kutulak is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the TVG Network. He'll be at Fodder Park this weekend. Chris, in your eyes, which Derby prep race do you study the most? Which one do you put the most stock in as a prep race?
Very good question. It's the races that are run over the conventional dirt track. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen synthetic surfaces. The brand name is Polytrack or Tapeta surface that they run on in Dubai. Cushion Track, Pro Ride, those are just some of the names of the manufacturers of these synthetic tracks, which are predominantly sand, which is the case with most conventional main tracks anyway, but they have some synthetic fibers in them and some wax polymers. And look, the Kentucky Derby is not run on these on that sort of a track. It's a conventional track, so I'm looking for prep races that are run over that regular old dirt, you know. So the Arkansas Derby comes to mind, the Florida Derby, the Wood Memorial. The Louisiana Derby would be, although this year I don't think, while it's a competitive race, I don't think we're going to see the Kentucky Derby winner come out of that race. So I'm really looking forward to the Arkansas Derby as being a major prep. That and the Wood, that's when we're going to see Escandarea come back to the races. So we'll have to, while there's a number of prep races this weekend, guys, I don't foresee those to be the major races. Now, let me say this. The Kentucky Derby winner last year finished fourth in the Sunland Derby. And the Sunland Derby runs this, I heard some chuckling in the background, yeah. Mind that bird at 50-1, couldn't even win the Sunland Derby, then he goes off to win the Kentucky Derby. But there's a track that is a conventional dirt surface.
Chris, you mentioned these surfaces, and people that don't follow horse racing, the horses just have a totally different feel. It's night and day on those surfaces.
It is. It's, first of all, it looks different. Picture what cat hairball and cookies and cream would look like if you mixed it together. Yeah, and when you pick it up in your hand and you work it in your hand and then you kind of drop it down, you get a residue of like sticky sand on your hand. Yet you really have to work to rub it off on your pants, and then you get it all over your pants. But it's more like a turf or a grass surface. Of course, we conduct racing on grass as well. And so it has a little bit more of a give and a soft cushion feeling to it as a regular old dirt racetrack. For those of that are not that into horse racing, there's a lot that goes on with the maintenance of even a simple dirt racetrack. It kind of takes on a life of its own. It's almost like it's a living organism, and they can have a variety of, you know, surfaces, muddy, fast, slow, sloppy, so on and so forth. So I feel, and really records show it, a horse that runs well over the grass makes a better transition to the synthetic surface than one maybe over the dirt, which isn't to say horses from dirt can transition to a synthetic surface. We've seen many horses who just aren't much on dirt. When they shift over to synthetic surface, woof, you know, they blossom, and all of a sudden they're winning a whole bunch of races. So, you know, it's just what the preference is of the horse, essentially.
Just a couple of seconds left here with Chris Kutulak of the TVG Network. What are you going to be doing in Grand Island this weekend, Chris?
Well, I'm going to show up on Friday evening and be there all day Saturday. I know I'll be a part of Steve Anderson's show that he does on track there. I'll be providing feeds back to TVG, and you can watch the action on TVG.com or the TVG Network, which is on Dish and DirecTV, hopefully picking some winners and basically just kind of hanging around and showing the world what a little gem Fauner Park is in the Great Plains, and looking forward to having a lot of fun and being around some good hearty racing folks. So come on out and say hello at Fauner Park this Saturday.
Chris, is there a major reason this didn't happen a year ago or 2 years ago? Why Fauner on the scene right now at TVG?
Just kind of slow-moving Nebraska. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's in a word. Also, the schedule for our racing right now is a little bit slow, so a track of less significance. Let's be honest, you know, Fauner Park is never going to be considered a major beacon of thoroughbred racing, so there's a little bit better opportunity for those races to sneak into our schedule that we show to the nation on TVG.
Hey, Chris, look forward to seeing you this weekend at Fauner Park. Take care, buddy, and have a safe flight.
As always, guys, happy to be part of your show. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon. Chris Kutulak from the TVG Network heading up. Look him up at Grand Island at Fauner Park on Saturday. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And when we come back, going to talk a little hockey with Storm assistant coach Eric Fink right after this.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
Newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What a shot!
Guys all have their MVP moments. And at Sport Clips Haircuts, we want them. Send us your amazing tricks or game-winning moments, and we could turn it into a Sport Clips TV commercial. Visit SportClipsMVP.com to upload your video and view others. Plus, enter the Sport Clips MVP Game Day Package Sweepstakes for a chance to win a big-screen TV, surround sound system, and more. SportClipsMVP.com. It's good to be a guy.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older. Ends 4/23/10. Void where prohibited.
Wall-to-wall college hoops for 3 weeks. Does it get any better?
Rebounded by Patterson for Kentucky. Out to Wall. Driving in the lane. Over the defense. Wall back-to-back.
The NCAA tournament is on. Westwood won. 65 teams. Only one will remain. It's quite a ride. And it's all right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
In the past 2 years, crude oil has traded in a range from nearly $32 to nearly $150 per barrel. Hi, I'm Katie with AgWest Energy. If your business burns fuel, AgWest can help you manage this incredible volatility. Allow me 20 minutes of your time, and I'll show you some risk management tools unique to the Western Corn Belt. Call AgWest Energy today at 866-WE-HEDGE and ask for Katie. Don't let unstable energy prices mess with your bottom line. Give me a call today.
In its heyday, Detroit was the center of the universe for cars and music. Now, Ford Field in Detroit is the home of another Ford.
Just a quick shot. Score! Just-
just like that, the terrific slap shot right down the slot.
The NCAA Frozen Four Championships, April 8th, 9th, and 10th, right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Taking a look at your weather eye forecast for today. Look for lots of sunshine. Continued mild with highs topping out near 57 degrees with winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Colin Witherow. Right now, 45.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where we have already talked with Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State basketball program, and just finished up with Chris Katulak from the National Horse Racing Network, TVG. Coming up, Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And in just a moment, we're going to talk on the local scene a little hockey because a huge weekend and a huge last four games coming up for the Tri-City Storm.
Well, we feed our guests right here. And when you're on the Duggan Nation, they like food.
Who doesn't like food?
And they want you to know. Burger King's got two locations in Kearney to serve you. Of course, right next to Walmart, 56th and 2nd Avenue, and then 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near Kearney Cinema. Two great locations. Also available, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte. Try the Steakhouse Thick Burger, cilantro lime fish sandwich as well. We're feeding our guest, Eric Fink. Enjoy some Burger King today. We welcome him into the Doug and Daddy Show right now. Eric, how are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. It's a busy time of the year, and we wanted to stay busy for the storm here in a couple of weeks. But two huge games, and thanks for giving us some time to kind of discuss what's going on with the hockey team. It seemed like they just didn't always have a lot of success at home and on the road. Things had went well, and I know it was a hard-fought game, but a very important game Tuesday. Let's start there. 2-1. Tell me about the team's effort and how the game went overall.
Well, you know what, we feel like we played pretty well. You know, unfortunately we came up on the wrong side of things, but Sioux City's been playing really good hockey right now as well, and defensively they're a strong team, and you know, like I said, unfortunately we just weren't able to come out on the right side.
Eric, obviously down the stretch here, this team's had some problems finishing games, had some leads in some games, especially at home, come down to the end and give up a couple goals late. Have you guys been able to diagnose that problem or see what's going on?
I think more of it's a mental thing than anything. You know, as you get into the sports and these guys are high-level athletes, you know, you kind of have streaks where things go your way and things don't. And right now we're at a little bit of a stretch and a funk where we need, you know, a couple things or a couple guys to make a couple individual plays at the right time, and that's the difference, you know. And sometimes for us it's guy blocking a shot or laying a big check at a big time that gets everybody on the team going. And sometimes that's all it takes to turn around and make a lot of wins. So, and that's kind of what we're looking for and asking for out of the guys right now. And hopefully we're able to come through with these last four games and make that happen.
Eric Fink, the assistant coach of the Tri-City Storm, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's kind of a joke, but it's also kind of not. You guys did change it up at home last week and just didn't have good first periods. So I guess that's different.
We, you know what, we actually felt like we played a really good game on Saturday, and it was kind of ironic because, you know, score didn't show it, and I think it was 5-2 final, but, you know, we'd given up four goals there on six or seven shots, and, you know, people that were watching the game and scouts and whatnot came down and thought it was one of the better games that we've played lately, you know, and we kind of agreed and thought it was too, and it's funny that's the way the game goes sometimes.
Well, obviously, you'd like to have that playoff spot clinched by now, but the way it's going to start, it looks like the playoffs begin for you this weekend with Omaha and Lincoln. And with 58 points and a 26-24 record, usually, I was talking with Derek about this, that should have been good enough any year that I can remember to get into the playoffs. And I know this is the first year for the coaching staff here, but what do you think about where you're at and maybe already should have clinched a spot and all that kind of thing?
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny because you're right. We are a new staff, so all we have is the past to kind of go by and to judge things. And ironically, we did the same thing. Like, we looked online and looked at the last couple of years, and we kind of set a benchmark for 60 points, thinking, boy, you know what, 60 points, and you don't ever think ties. So we thought that would be 30 wins for us, and we thought, you know what, hey, 30, 30 wins and 60 points would be a great season to get us into the playoffs, and here we are, you know, we're only a couple points shy of that, and we're in a dogfight just to make it. So sometimes when the divisions are, you know, a little bit separate and some teams do well against teams in the East and the West and whatnot, that's kind of the way it works. But, you know, I guess that's the playoff race there, and we'll see what happens.
Eric, and just seeing the limited number of games that I saw Saturday night's game, and you know, you always recognize Schwartz, you always see Rotto out there, two of your leaders, but a kid who's really come along as a Brooks kid. I think maybe played some of his best hockey as of late on Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday especially. You know, and it wasn't just him. Like, there were a lot of other guys, like you said, that were really moving, and we really played physical in that game. We had guys that were moving their feet constantly, and the shifts were short, so they had a lot of energy, and we wanted to win bad. It took a little bit out of us there, we think, just because, you know, the effort was there. And you know, I kind of in November when we hit a stretch, too, where things weren't going well, you know, that was kind of the same thing. Like, we felt like we had played good games there, and it just didn't work. And individually, you know, Brooks has been playing well. He gets the goal there. You know, Matt Johnson, another kid who probably doesn't end up on the score sheet that much, but is one of the coach's favorites, just the way he blocks shots and always moves his feet and works hard, and, you know, it's nice to see guys like that, but that's what we're going to need, too. You know, we're going to need Brooks and Johnson and, you know, Tardy and DeCenzo, those kind of guys here to score coming down the stretch.
Eric Fink, the assistant coach of the Tri-City Storm, joining us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. How about what's going on between the pipes there with the goaltending?
You know what, right now we're going to kind of see how things go. You know, we haven't made a decision yet as far as who's going to start tomorrow. You know, I know we beat him once this year, and Stephen Bolton's been the guy that was able to do that. And, you know, Carson just recently made a commitment to Niagara and was playing some great hockey there. And he played real well on Tuesday. So we've got a decision to make, you know. And especially even not only Friday, but, you know, for the rest of the way out. Stephen's looked great in practice, and obviously Chewy has as well. So I guess we'll probably find out more tonight as Coach and I get a chance to talk about it.
Is that more of a confidence deal for Chewbacca as well as anything?
Yeah, it is at this level, you know, and at this stage, you know, things start going well at the right time. Next thing you know, you've won five or six games, and they feel like nothing's going to get by them. You know, and with goalies especially, if they make a mistake, they don't need a coach there telling them. They know exactly what it is. It's pretty cut and dry as to what they need to do, and they're at a level right now where if you give them a video and they watch it, they're able to diagnose it pretty fast. So, you know, for him, I think you're right. It is just a confidence thing, and if things are going well, then he's going to be playing well. So, like I said, tough decision for us. He did play well on Tuesday.
Well, Eric, I guess confidence might be a big word that you go on the road here and not a lot of success. And, of course, a lot of people haven't had a lot of success against Omaha. More success against Lincoln. Your thoughts against these two opponents for the final time in the regular season?
Well, our goal here is to take it one period at a time, and coaches stress that throughout the week here, and making sure that we don't get ahead of ourselves, and we realize that if we can win the first period on Friday, it doesn't really mean much, but if we can do that, that's a good step, and we'll do the next thing is trying to win the second period on the same night, you know. So Omaha's a skilled team. They've got a lot of offense. A lot of guys can score on that lineup, and they've been doing that regularly all year, and even though we've had some success against Lincoln, most of those games were kind of early on in the year, and they were a different team then. You know, they had a lot of guys that were injured, and they've been playing some good hockey here, especially last week. I think Friday they beat Fargo 6-0 before Fargo came in here on Saturday. So they're going to be tough games, and we've just got to battle as hard as we can both nights.
Hey, Eric, thanks for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck this weekend. Let's get in the playoffs, and if you do get behind, I say fight.
I do, too. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Eric. You don't want him suspended, Daddy. We got important games.
Oh, we got enough kids. Keep fighting, boys.
There you go. Well, long as you're happy. Well, I can't believe it. What are we, 10 days away from the start of the Major League Baseball season? And this is a big weekend for a lot of folks that are going to be heading into their fantasy drafts. And you can find out all the information you need online at FantasyPlayersEdge.com, your source for Joe DiMaio's smiling face and knowledge that is unsurpassed. And he joins us, as he does every Thursday at this time, on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, good morning.
Hey, gents, good morning. How is everything out there in Nebraska?
The sun is shining, but that doesn't mean a whole lot every day. But I will tell you, it's better than gloominess like some fantasy teams already have. Joe, I'm starting to pay attention. Here's a question I wanted to ask you right off the bat. As new guys are starting to form leagues, you've got new people that are starting to form leagues. What's the most important thing if you've got a group of guys out there this weekend that are going to be going through their first draft together? Maybe not the first draft they've ever been in, but the first time this league is together, you got 10 or 12 new guys. What's the most important thing they need to know going into that?
Well, I mean, the honest thing for me to say is for everyone to take it serious. Not just a draft. Vincent Padilla in round four. It's. The hardest thing is to take the social aspect out of the draft. You can have fun that day, have a great time, but you're actually gonna, you're gonna play that, that team for, on or about 5 months, so take it serious. And the second thing is do your homework. Come to the draft prepared. I mean, in most drafts you only get 90 seconds and, you don't need to take the whole 90 seconds if you're prepared. So it's nice to have a nice crisp draft too. And if you do 23 rounds with guys that are decent players, you shouldn't be at the draft more than an hour and 15 minutes. And, the rest of the time can be spent, just to trash talking like we all do.
There you go. Joe DeMail from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joe, how much stock do you put into spring training numbers?
Okay, none. None whatsoever. Now, let me give you the caveats. I don't really care what Albert Pujols hits, or I don't really care, if David Wright hits, or anybody of that ilk. What I do care about is injured players coming back from last season. For instance, Chris Stunk, San Diego Padres pitcher. I'm really intent on watching his starts because he was a talented guy before he got hurt, and it looks like he's back in pretty good shape. But Francisco Liriano qualifies for that as well. So I'm looking at players who were injured last season who are coming back, and then I'm looking for players that were injured in spring training. Guys like Jose Reyes, who I think might actually make opening day. I pay no attention to the stats. I don't really care if Ricky Nolasco had 6 brilliant innings or if Johan Santana allowed 9 hits and 5 runs. That means very, very little to me. I just want my guy from last season that he's healthy, if he's a talented guy, that he's healthy this year, because his game will come around as the season moves through the initial parts of April and May. And then I want to keep a watchful eye out on injuries like Nigel Morgan's hamstring, Rajai Davis's quad, because those are speed guys, so you don't want anything wrong with their legs. I want to know if Reyes is going to be all right, what's the status of Carlos Beltran, that type of stuff. Just pay no attention to the actual game stats.
Okay, Joe, here's my next question. You got people coming from Japan. You've got people coming from Cuba. You don't know much about them. How do you evaluate anything about these guys?
Yeah, now a guy like Aroldis Chapman, you've got to look at him based on what you've got, the body of work in front of you, which in many cases is 13 spring training innings. I'm not going to be one of those guys that's drafting Chapman very, very high. If I'm going to take a flyer later in the draft on what I consider an upside guy, it's going to be a guy like Strasburg, who I think can come in and be quite explosive. I tend to shy away from guys that don't have any track record at all in our system. Like a kid like Jason Heyward, I like a lot, but he had a ton of minor league stats that I can look at. Then he comes up and has a decent spring. I can maybe extrapolate the minor league stats across a 162-game season. But a guy coming in from Japan or Korea or from Cuba or from anywhere, as a matter of fact, going right into a major league camp, I tend to shy away from those guys until until I can see them in gameplay. They'll be available to me in 2011, so I don't worry about that too much.
Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can check his website out. You can shoot him some questions. You can email us. We'll pass it along. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Joe, last week I asked you who made the biggest jump from last year to the preseason board for you this year. I want to go the other way. Who do you think is overhyped? I mean, there are so many sites and so many magazines out there. Who do you personally think is an overhype and a potential bust?
Alfonso Soriano is the first name that comes to mind for me, gents. I think people are even stretching to grab him in round 5. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. His production has declined precipitously over the last several years. He has had not one but three injuries during that period. And at best, he would be an outfielder three in round 11 if he should be there. I want to caution people about guys like that, buying the name, if you will. Soriano was one of the big names in fantasy baseball, you know, several years ago. So here's a guy there that a lot of the pundits are saying he's a steal in round 4 or 5. He is a trap in round 4 or 5. If you have a 23-round draft and you're only on your fifth pick, you better make sure that person's going to be a bothersome injury during the season. That person is going to be able to play, you know, 155 games for you out of 162 games. So he comes to mind, you know, right away. He jumps off the page at me. Another guy that on the pitching side of things that I think you need to be careful with is a guy like Ryan Dempster. Ryan Dempster had a terrific year 2 years ago. Last year he was up and down the spectrum. He's still getting a lot of play as a top 30, top 35 arm. I like him better in the top 50, 55 range. So those kinds of guys like that, too, that have had one good season and then followed that up with a mediocre season, there's no way in the world that you can ascertain which it's going to be, the Dempster of 2 years ago or the Dempster of this season. So those are guys that, there's no sense in me talking like about Josh Hamilton. I mean, I myself don't know where to rate him. Last year, he was a lottery pick last year. He was a top 6-7 pick last year. Of course, he goes down with various sort of injuries, including running into a fence and then pulling a ribcage muscle. Now he goes to spring training. He gets sidelined again. Then he gets hit by a ball on his hand. What do you do with Josh Hamilton? If you want, my point of view on that, I say that if he's sitting there around 4 or 5, you've got to give that kind of talent an opportunity to make your roster as an outfield 2 or an outfield 3.
Just a couple of minutes left here with Joe DiMaio. Joe, again, kind of from a general perspective, first-time guy that's going into a draft, what should he be doing in the first 5 rounds? Does he need 4 pitchers? Does he need 4 offensive players? Just for that first-time guy, first 5 rounds, where do you attack?
Great question. Now, let's talk about the 2010 draft, because it does change every year. 2010, second base, shortstop, third base are all very, very thin positions. So it's absolutely essential that you come out of the first 5 rounds with a second baseman, a third baseman, and a shortstop, even if it means having to reach. Let me give you an example. In the first round, just take the best guy available. I don't care what the position is. Let's say in the middle of the round, so you take Prince Fielder. That's your first baseman. When you swing back around the second time, the only you're going to have left is from a really big name third baseman is either Mark Reynolds, Kevin Youkilis, or Aramis Ramirez. At second base, Utley is long gone. Ben Zobrist is the next best possibility there. And at shortstop, you're really, really thin after Hanley Ramirez and Jose Reyes. Hopefully, is in there in the third or fourth round, but he may move up because he's healthy. So here's what you got to do. You got to take the best player in the first round. The second round, maybe you grab Mark Reynolds. The third round, you grab a guy like Ben Zobrist because he's got second short outfield eligibility, which means you have a lot of flexibility in round 5 or 6 to take either the best shortstop or the best second baseman, who's available. Now you've got a first baseman, you've got a second short eligible, and you got a third baseman. So rounds 4 and 5, or at least 4, take the best player available regardless of position. Round 5, look at shortstops, look at second base, make a decision whether that guy's worthy of a fifth-round pick. You might want to pass there, grab another great player in the sixth round, grab a second baseman or a shortstop, the best of 2 that are left, and then start building your pitching staff in round 7 through 11.
Well, thank God for the iPod, the iCast, the iTunes, and all that, because we can go back and replay your last answer to that question. My head's about ready to explode, Joe. You're the best, as always. Thanks for giving us some time today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate it very much. Have a fantastic week. I look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Talk to you then, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Joe DiMaio, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Get yourself 2 of the best players and then fill that middle infield, because there's not a lot of guys that are going to steal bases and hit for power and hit for average.
Chris Getz is.
Good idea. So there you go. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wrap things up right after this timeout.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. It's great. I can print real U.S. postage using my own computer and printer. It's like having a post office right in my home or office. Try Stamps.com today. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer. It's a no-risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 of free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Here's what I love about Stamps.com. You don't have to go to the post office. Long waits, tedious. No need to lease or buy an expensive postage meter. What a waste. Go to Stamps.com today. It'll save you time. It'll save you money. And with my special offer, you have nothing to lose. For a no-risk trial and a $100 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage. Then type in my name, Colin. That's Stamps.com. And be sure to use my name, Colin.
It's March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney. All month long, stop by and fill out your brackets for free and then earn points. Trade those points in for multiple prizes. Also during March Madness, participate in the Madness Pick'em Championship game and have a chance to win the grand prize. Don't forget they have the coldest beers in town and plenty of TVs to watch every single game. NCAA Tournament, March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
It's finally here. The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamin supplements is Complete Nutrition. And now it's right here in Kearney, Nebraska. Do you want to lose weight, increase energy, and burn stubborn fat? Complete Nutrition can get you fast results. Do you want to pack on hard muscle, increase strength, and stamina? Complete Nutrition delivers hardcore gains. Do you want the healthiest, most effective organic herbs, vitamins, and healthy aging products? Complete Nutrition has the best products at the best prices. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is getting you the right products you need for the best results. It's time to look your best, feel your best, and complete your life with total health and nutrition for the complete you. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1-FIT. That's 338-1348.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Alex Gordon will miss the season opener and most likely start the season in Omaha.
Shocker.
Yeah, probably will open the season in Omaha April 8th because he's recovering from a fractured right thumb. Wow. So Alberto Callaspo will be the starting third baseman for the Royals when they open the season against the Tigers from Detroit.
Good.
Wow.
Probably end the season in Omaha, too, if he doesn't start playing better.
Loper Lynch just about ready to get underway at UNK Health and Sports Center. Hearing from the spring sports coaches, UNK softball dropped a couple yesterday to Shadron State, their home this weekend. Not a good, you know, sports information people shouldn't be weather forecasters. Hastings and UNK should have played baseball yesterday. But that was postponed. Hastings softball was postponed. The Nebraska baseball team, big day, 15-2 over Northern Colorado, now Oklahoma, will roll in. We had Sonny Galloway on the show yesterday, the head baseball coach at Oklahoma. If you miss any of our interviews or any of the show, it's always there for you on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com. You can listen to any of our past shows, including today's, which will be up momentarily. We talked a little hockey with Tri-City Storm assistant coach Eric Fink. We talked with Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com as you get ready for your fantasy baseball draft. Chris Katulak from the TVG Network. He's going to be at his home park. That's right, where it all started, Fauner Park, this weekend. And, of course, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, as they get ready to take on Xavier tonight. Tomorrow, the voice of the Baylor Bears, John Morris, as they get ready to battle St. Mary's. Also, Matt Mitchell, the head women's basketball coach at Kentucky, will join us tomorrow as they get ready to take on the Huskers in the Sweet 16. Good stuff, people.
Hey, looking forward to that, along with you joining us again 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy Show.
Go Senator Cornell.
Massa, ESPN
go
Radio.
Go Cornell. Go Big Red. Go Cornell. Go Cornell.
I say go Cornell straight home after the game. Fly directly home. You will be gone from this tournament tonight. Bye now.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!